The joy of the Lord is our strength, and His presence is fullness of joy. Psalm 19, starting at verse 7. The law of the Lord is what? Hold on a second. The law of the Lord is what? Perfect. So that means His words are perfect. His words, everything He speaks is law. And that must be understood, that whatever He speaks is called law. It's law. Whatever He speaks is law. That's it. It's done. And it's what? Perfect. What does it do? It converts the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean. It's what? Clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is what? Warned. Is what? Warned. And in keeping them there is great reward. Words of God are perfect. Hallelujah. Verse 12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins or assuming. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Words of God are perfect. He said, let my words align with your words. Let my heart align with your heart, that I might be acceptable in your sight, or pleasing to you in your sight. What this is all about divinely, we're being divinely warned all the time. What does he say? In keeping them, there's what? Great reward. So we know that the enemy's going to attack in multiple ways because he's always going to try to get us to drift, or turn our attention to something else. That's his job. He does it very well. In Deuteronomy 7, today's teaching is called Divinely Warned. Have you ever been divinely warned? Yeah. Well, there's a global divinely warning, and there's a personal divinely warning. Deuteronomy 7 in verse 1. When the Lord your God brings you into the land of which you go to possess, and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, the Gergesites, and the Amorites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Pestisites, and the Hevites and the Jebusites and seven other greater nations mightier than you. These are all Nephilim races. And when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them nor show mercy on them. Why? Because they are from the Nephilim race. Nor shall you make marriages with them, like they did when they produced that Nephilim race. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor take their daughter for your son. For they will turn your sons away from following me and serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. Has this happened already? Look at what's happened in this world already. You know, it all started when the fallen angels went into the women, produced offsprings. Those Nephilims continue on to this day. Why? Because Ham married a Nephilim, came in after the flood. Now his son and all the Canaanites and so forth produced a Nephilim race again. But they look more human now. I can't say all of them do, but most of them do. Praise God. Now there's intermixing of blood. We're actually all mutts. Hello? We've got intermixture of blood. Everyone. But we're all under one blood now, Jesus Christ. That's the difference. One DNA under Jesus Christ. Everything's changed. But the Lord tried to warn them, didn't he? Because what happened when they started intermixing marriages, they went after the gods, their gods, the female gods. Because he knows how men are with women. Hello? Wimps. Sometimes. Hallelujah. For verse 6. What is it? Well, verse 5. But thus you shall deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their sacred pillars and cut down their wooden images and burn their carved images with fire. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. That's us now. The Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more number than other people, for you were the least of all peoples. And because the Lord has loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out of with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage and from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for a thousand generations with those who what? Love him and keep his commandments. And he repays those who hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack with him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. Therefore, you shall keep the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which I command you today to observe them. Then it shall come to pass, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep you with your covenant and the mercy which he swore to your fathers. He will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land, your grain and your new wine, your oil and the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flock in the land of which he swore to your fathers to give you. You shall be blessed above all the peoples. There shall not be a male or female barren among you or among your livestock. And the Lord will take away from all you the sicknesses and all that afflict you, and none of the terrible diseases of Egypt which you have known, but will lay them on all those who what? Hate him. That's pretty intense, isn't it? And the Lord will take away all these things. And also you shall destroy all the peoples whom the Lord your God delivers over to you. Your eye shall not pity them, nor shall you serve their gods, for that will be a snare to you. These were all divine warnings from God Almighty. He's still giving divine warnings today. In fact, they are multiplying and increasing because of the things that are getting ready to shift. You know, there's another attempt on Trump's life. Let me tell you, people think that this is, oh, listen, they were divinely warned. He's a chosen man of God. God's hands on Trump. He ain't going to die. He's been chosen to fulfill a purpose and time. Moses didn't die before his time, did he? Nope. Neither will Trump. And all those who are around, remember, Trump's got prophets and all kinds of servants of the Lord around him. God will speak to them in dreams and visions if Trump doesn't hear them. He will be divinely warned. He was protected, even in the first assassination and the second one. And there'll probably be more. But they will be divinely warned because God is placing him in position for a holy shift, to change things around, to bring healing to the land, to bring healing to the hearts, to bring healing to the minds, and to release the wealth of the wicked into the hands of the righteous, because this month Babylon begins to fall. Why? Because there was a divine warning from a prophet. He said Babylon will begin to fall in the beginning of fall. Well, fall starts September 22nd of this month. And then we're getting ready to enter the next fall three feasts, which is in October. There's no coincidence. And how is Babylon going to be dismantled? The first thing they got to do is dismantle their currency and change it over. And that's what's happening right now. All the wealthy individuals are getting, they're pulling their money out of banks. Billions and billions of dollars. I heard one of them pulled out $200 billion out of a bank and turned it into cash. He probably turned it into gold or silver. I don't think he can store all that cash in his house. Why? Because they know Babylon is beginning to fall. Things are going to be changed. There's already a new currency printed. Things will be changed. Everything's going to be backed by, and in October, there's a law that's coming into effect for all banks. They must hold back, they must be back with at least 4% of all their loans, or the bank shuts down. And they can't collect the money for the loans. It's wiped out. Does everybody understand that? In other words, they must have enough tangible. So if a bank's got more, it's got loans of mortgages all over the hundreds, but they don't have enough to back them up, they must have in reserve 4%. Or they will lose their ability to become a bank and the debts will be removed. So you know they're struggling real hard right now to get as much gold and silver as they can. 25 tons of silver has just been bought. Tons and tons of gold has been bought. You know, God has been divinely warning us constantly about the currency exchange for a long time, preparing us to make sure that we have tangibilities. Tangibilities. So we can stand on tangibilities and not just paper money. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles 36, verse 11. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. He did evil in the sight of the Lord his God and did not humble himself there before Jeremiah, the prophet who spoke from the mouth of the Lord. Now listen to that. The prophet that spoke from the mouth of the Lord. Hello. That's what prophets do, don't they? And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear on an oath by God, but he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart against turning to the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the leaders of the priests and the people transgressed more and more according to all the abominations of the nations and defiled the house of the Lord God he had consecrated in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent what? Warnings to them by his messengers, rising them up early and sending them because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. So warnings come because God loves us. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people. So there was no remedy. See, this is why so many times people, you know, with judgments and wrath and things that's going on, we're seeing the wrath of the judgments of God all over the world right now. Why? Because until wrath or judgment, they keep rejecting the warnings. Then when things begin, chaos comes, people go, oh, they finally get it. Maybe there's something I did wrong. Maybe I'm not listening. Maybe this, maybe that. But again, it's not really till chaos. The reason why it comes, because they reject divine warnings. What do? They reject divine warnings. And you and I don't want to reject divine warnings. Amen. Hebrews 12, verse 25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as the things that are not, that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may what? Remain. So everybody's world is shaking right now. But if you're on solid ground, you got nothing to worry about. If you're right with God, you got nothing to worry about. No matter what's going on, you got nothing to be worried about. Everything's going to work to the good to those who love the Lord. If you love the Lord, it's going to work to the good, no matter what. It don't feel like it, didn't say it would feel. There isn't anything that says God said you're going to feel like it. In fact, I've never seen anything in the Bible that talks about feeling. Because humanity relies on their feelings all the time, which are totally misleading. Amen? There's a knowing that we know. Amen? There's a difference between a feeling and a knowing. You know because you have the witness of the Holy Spirit with you. And he lets you know. But if you take that knowing and call it a feeling, then you're dishonoring the Holy Spirit. Does everybody understand that? Because he's not about feeling. He's about knowing. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will tell you what? Things to come. He'll guide you to all truth. Now the feelings that we have is peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. You lose your peace, you don't want to. And it's not the peace from the world. The world can never bring you peace. The presence of God brings you peace. Brings you joy. Amen? Peace, joy, and the righteousness. Knowing that you're pleasing God is a place of peace. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace, God's plan, by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Our God is a what? Consuming fire. He's going to shake loose the things that reject divine warnings. The beginning of the separation between the goat and the sheep, the wheat and the tare. It's happening right now. The children of God and the children of the devil. The children of God and the children of the devil. Remember, God's words are perfect. Amen. So when he does speak, he is divinely warning. When he speaks, it's law. It is what it is. There's no change. Hebrew 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being what? Divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Now think about it. Noah was divinely warned. He didn't know what the heck was going on. Noah built an ark. What the heck's an ark? He didn't even know what an ark was. God had to teach him all of these things. He had to be divinely warned. I don't know if it was through dreams. And I don't think he remembered the whole blueprint. I think he had God had to speak to him constantly. How many animals are there? So they had to be, he had this communication with God where God was divinely warning him. He didn't know about the flood yet. Finally he did. But things that were passed down, I can't say 100% that he didn't know about the flood, because those things were passed down prophetically. They knew about the flood. They knew about a flood that was coming. It was warned. Even Adam knew about a flood that was coming. But these things were not always up front of them, but they were always seekers of God. They were seekers of God. So if they're a seeker of God, God will always divinely warn you. Amen? Don't do this. Do this. Wait. Wait. That's a tough one, huh? Wait. Say what? Wait. Lord, was that you? Wait. Are you sure? Wait. Hallelujah. Divinely warned of things not yet seen. That's how he prevents you from stepping into traps. He divinely warns you. You know, again, you've heard this testimony before, and it was, you know how heavy a garage door is, you know? I mean, when the one that goes from the house, it's usually thicker and solid. And, you know, I walked out. My daughter was only, she was holding on to the wall to be able to walk. So she was, I don't know, 9 months, 8 months, a year, whatever. And I was going to the garage, and I was getting ready to shut the door, and all of a sudden I had a vision. And I saw my daughter's fingers, her hand, into the area where it would have ripped her, cut them right off, her hand. And I turned around and I grabbed that door real quick. I didn't look to see if she was there. I turned around and grabbed the door real quick, and there she was. And man, I thank God. I thank him, because he divinely warned me through a quick vision. I would have been regretting that moment for my whole life. I would have carried it forever. But walking around, seeing my daughter walk around with a thumb and four fingers cut off. Hallelujah. All right. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. There's a global divine warning. Everybody's seeing it. Everybody knows something's getting ready to happen. That's a warning, isn't it? I mean, I don't think of anybody that I know right now, whether they're a heathen or not, doesn't think something's getting ready to happen. Matthew 2, verse 7. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child, young child, not a baby. Because when the wise men showed up, Jesus was already 2 years old. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. Was he lying? Yeah, he wasn't going to go worship Jesus. When they had heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they came and had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. They were divinely warned. Does everybody understand that? God is personally divine warning us. Now, he doesn't have to personally divine warn us when we get the global divine warning. Amen. We already know how we get warned. We can get warned through the Word of God. If you can prophetically understand what's happening, that's why God gives us prophetic insight. Amen. And he gives us prophetic words to be released because there's a divine warning that comes so that you can supersede and overcome a divine, a trap of the enemy because God is making a way, a divine escape. Does everybody understand that? Go to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son and his Son's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and the expression image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. He prophets, he divinely warned us. Now Jesus, the Holy Spirit. How else would we be in divine word? Dreams and visions. The written word of God. We're divinely warned every day. Events. Global events. Feasts. When you're acknowledging the feast of the Lord, they're divine warnings. Political changes. Those are divine warnings. Currency changes. Amen. When you see an increase of corruption, those are divine warnings. Amen. Sins. Now we're seeing closings of banks and currency manipulations. All kinds of things. These are all divine warnings that we're in right now. God is warning his people. Not many people are heeding to it. I've sat down with pastors who just don't believe any of the stuff that I tell them. They think I'm nuts. But it's okay. Because when everything begins to manifest, they'll know where to go to get the information. Hallelujah. Look at the change. They're trying to change the Constitution to make it unconstitutional. Their unconstitutional laws are trying to attack the change of laws. They're trying to change everything. These are divine warnings for me and you. See, because when we see these things, we know that the enemy's trying to influence greater. Daniel 7, verse 13. Daniel said, I was watching in a night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to me, the Ancient of Days. They brought him near before me. Then to him was given dominion and glory, a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed. So this was a prelude to what God was talking about, what's getting ready to happen prophetically. And I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit within my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. And I came near to one of those who stood by and asked him the truth of all of this. And so he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. This was an angel of the Lord. Those great beasts which are four kings which arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High will receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever and ever and ever. Then I wish to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the other, exceedingly dreadful, with teeth of iron and its nails of bronze, which devoured broken pieces and trampled the residue with his feet. And the ten horns that were on his head, and the other horn which came up, before which three fell, namely, that the horn which had eyes and a mouth which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High. And a time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on the earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it and break it in pieces. The ten horns are the ten kings who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall rise after them, but shall be different from the first ones, and shall subdue three kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change what? Times and laws, or seasons and constitutions. Then the saints shall be given into his hands for a time and times and a half. That's 3.5 years. I believe that that's already happened. I believe that we're entering the next 3.5 years with praise, glory, and awesome things getting ready to happen before it returns again. But the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion and consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. This is the end of the account. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly troubled me, and my countenance changed, but I kept the matter into my heart. Matthew 24. See, God gives divine warnings, even in the Old Testament, as a shadow of things to come. So things will repeat themselves, just like the Feast of the Lord repeat themselves, and there are certain events that follow the feast also. Its purpose is to keep us awake, keep us alert. We talked about this already. In Matthew 24 and verse 3, please. Now, as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age. Jesus answered and said to him, take heed that no one does what? Deceive. So you know that great deception and great distraction is going to come. We're in it now. For many will come in my name, saying, I am a Christian. and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. And we see this happening. See that you're not troubled. For all of these things must come to pass, but the end's not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. Is that happening? Yes, more than ever. You might not hear about them all, but it is happening. All these things that are beginning in the sours that are beginning of birth pangs. Then it will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. The many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will what? Grow cold. Has that happened? Yes, it's happening. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. Now he begins to tell you things. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel, the prophet, standing in the holy place, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go take anything out of the house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babes in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. So he says already, for again, they will be delivered up to tribulation, then they will be delivered to what? Great tribulation. But first the beginning of sorrows. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. So this means Jesus did not show himself yet. He's going to tell you when. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, here is the in the desert, do not go out. Or look, here in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Now, here is conclusion. Immediately after what? Tribulation, not great tribulation, tribulation. Of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then the Son of Man will what? Appear where? In heaven, not on earth. This is called the rapture, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He appears in the heavenlies. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will what? Send his angels with a great sound of a what? Trumpet, fulfilling the what? Feast of Trumpets. And they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. The fig tree is Jerusalem, Israel. When its branches already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the door. Assuredly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all of these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And as the days of what? Noah. Where so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For in all those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. In other words, until we enter eternity, known as the rapture. And did not know until the flood came, took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at a mill, one will be taken, one will be left. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Is it a divine warning? Yeah. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. Powerful. You know, we're seeing all kinds of goofy things. In the Olympics, they just mocked the Last Supper with all this transgender stuff and perversion. I mean, that's a sure sign. You know, there is no more righteousness. There's more self-righteousness. There's more love of money than ever before. There's things that are going on that we see, that we know, because we're aware of these things. But as soon as you become dull of these things, they begin to overtake you. And I'm going to close at 2 Timothy 3. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Are we in perilous times? It's crazy out there, man. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They have a form of godliness, but they deny his power. And from such people do what? turn away. For this sort are those who creep into households and ministries and businesses and make captives of gullible men and women, loaded down with sins and led away with various lusts and false doctrine, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. As Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so these also resist the truth. Men and women of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be made manifest to all, as theirs also was. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will what? Suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Why? Because they're being exposed more and more. Remember, God is drawing them out to be exposed. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for the salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the men and women of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Amen? God says, work it out. Work it out. Be aware. The enemy comes in multiple ways. It says, be sober, which is alert. Be vigilant. Be consistent. Don't be distracted by the voice of the strangers, because one person can have many voices of strangers in them. Stand strong. Hold fast to what God has given you. It will come to pass. Everything will come to pass. We are in a time of transition. The enemy is attacking as much as he can, because he's being exposed. Look, and we're seeing a righteous man, not by anything he's done, but everything that God has done in him, Donald Trump, be attacked tremendously. Attempted assassinations, persecuted. This has been going on for years with him, hasn't it? And he's been warning people from the beginning. He warned people about the media and how corrupt they were. He warned people about the CEOs of big companies. And stuff. He warned people about the pharmaceutical company. He warned these people. But nobody was heeding. They just persecuted him more. Because he was outnumbered. There wasn't enough people to awaken. He had to go through all of these things to awaken individuals. Amen. So that they know how to battle. They know who their attackers are. It's hard to battle something you can't see until you can be able to see it. So globally, there's a global divine warning, but there's a personal warning. Amen? And we can take both and be divinely warned and walk in peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We thank you for divine warnings and preparations, because you're faithful, Lord. You're faithful, you're faithful, you're faithful, and you love us unconditionally. We can't even comprehend how much you love us, but you love us. And because you love us, we love you. And we promise to give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.